It's a meeting of the City Center Parking District, Derek Toko's staff, date September 30th.
Dave Streets.
Tim Gross, Engineering. It's still September 30th.
Frank Geltners. I guess I'm a member of the City Center Newport Association.
Mike Eastman, Public Works Streets.
Jim Weir, Parking District Committee.
Thanks. Well, what I was hoping we could use this meeting for is to kind of walk through the changes that the district's looking to have made to the signage and maybe start to map out a tentative schedule for when we think that would be doable. That's really what I was shooting for. And I had passed along the district's kind of summary of what we had talked about earlier in terms of changes that you guys had identified out there based on, as I recall, was it a survey and then you guys mm-hmm. walk around. Mm-hmm. And then I understand that you and Mike had done some work on that and kind of refined that a little bit in terms of some observations.
Can I ask a question before we go any further?
Sure.
That Hubert parking lot, that's a city parking lot managed by the city. And that's one we had talked about doing a seal coat on and restrip, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that essentially falls in, well, what I've never really known is sort of where are the boundaries of the different parking districts, and how far do they reach, you know, into the surrounding neighborhoods, and, you know, and how, and really what I'm asking that question for is, where does the funding from the parking district sort of go to, you know, I'm assuming there's some line of demarcation where it applies to certain neighborhoods or whatever. Oh, there you go.
There's the map for the city center. It's a pretty, the city center is actually a fairly large boundary.
Actually, I should just pass copy. These are actually the survey, but they had the map on them.
So that's the actual city center parking district. So it's pretty big, boundary-wise, much larger than the area we're talking about making signage changes to.
Mm-hmm.
But in that was this.
I don't remember. Yeah, the survey is history, but who generated this to begin with?
That came from Pete.
Oh, Pete. Okay.
So he didn't have the original file. Though I have a PDF of it. So, but
yeah,
that's the parking lot right there. Then.
Yeah, it was a strategic choice of the businesses to go with the boundaries that are a little bit larger because they were wanting to set a fairly modest fee.
City on that parking lot next to the old city hall and between the armory and the old city hall too. That's our parking lot as well.
I wouldn't be shocked. I'd have to double check it, but to answer your question about the where parking district funds can be expended anywhere within the district boundaries, you know, is fair game. It's really, you know, what are the priorities of the advisory committee in terms of parking system improvements.
When they ask for things like this, the first thing I think of is how do you sequence it so it makes sense? So, mm-hmm. you know, if they want us to do something on a block and it makes sense to do it on the next block too, I wanted to kind of find where the lines are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what brought it to mind was the parking district down in Nye Beach where they asked for the sidewalk improvements and we started looking at the sidewalk improvements in the survey and we're trying to figure out what makes sense to do as part of a project and I didn't mm-hmm. want to go outside of sure. one of their boundaries and be spending their money outside of the boundary. And so most of this stuff is simply signage stuff. There's a little bit of repair work. But
yeah, this one section here, this will all go to Walgreens, won't it?
The stuff up by,
let me see here, this section right there.
Right there. That's Walgreens.
Right. That is, not this, but this is. This is Walgreens and this is Walgreens. These two pieces here.
Oh, they're not taking the corner. I thought they were moving into the old.
No, they don't go.
Dodge dealership.
They're the two vacant buildings here.
Oh, okay.
So those two buildings are going to come down. We're not sure right now whether or not the OSU building is going to be in play or not, but the Walgreens is going to be coming in here.
So
I see.
The general question,
mm-hmm.
a couple of thoughts. First of all, this here, this shows you all the people who responded to the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some general thoughts. And as you can imagine, there is no consensus. there are as many thoughts as there are people, right? But there were some strong responses, and one of those has to do with the antique mall. You know, they feel pretty strongly that that, I guess, parking lot is maintained by the owner of that. And so it's, so I don't think they fancy themselves part of the district.
They paid.
They paid?
They paid.
Okay, good.
They wrote a letter saying they didn't like it, but they paid.
Oh, good.
So minimal.
All right. So then the other question is there anything, you know, now that we've been a few months, that should be expanded upon or taken away based on any feedback you've got?
No, it's been quiet. I mean, I understand that none of the districts form with 100% consensus.
Yeah.
And I mean, the way the statute was written, as long as fewer than 33% of the businesses object, you know, the council can adopt it. And in all of the districts, it's been far less than 33%, and the council has felt, you know, based on the general support that, you know, they should be adopted. So there's been grumbling. In every district, there's some grumbling, but nothing that would suggest a change to the boundaries.
Okay, so now the other question is this. When Jim and I or Bill are approached, you know, we use our collective memories. We're alone, our single memories. And what would really help us is if some of this could be memorialized in a public fashion, i.e. A newsletter, that so we're all on the same page when we move forward on anything.
Yeah, I think some outreach is definitely going to be needed.
Yeah.
And outreach on paper, you know, like you said, a newsletter or flyer or something that goes out. Is that kind of what you're driving at, so that folks kind of know what the rationale was? And
because the City Center Newport Association, Jim, you correct me if I'm wrong, is essentially whoever shows up, obviously. Pete has taken the lead, but I think he's announced that he wants to step down.
He needs to get out of president, yeah.
Because the bylaws basically require it. So that'll be the change. There's really no heir apparent, so it would be really important to have some place where the memories are captured, so that no one comes to us and says, well, I thought we agreed to what, you know?
Yeah.
Because all we came up with was our best guesstimate based on the input we got. So that's FYI. So
I guess my sense was that we were going to, what we can do in terms of next steps moving forward is on the signage. We'll just talk about the signage here. There are actually really three elements. There's the signage element, there's some repair work, you know, strategic repair work, and then there's the Herbert lot. And just real quick, on the Herbert lot, I mean, we've got the funds budgeted, but the reason why that's not top priority, at least from a staff perspective, is that we're still waiting on whether or not that lot is going to be selected or not as a location for a electronic or electric charging station. The state, that's the state selecting it as a location, because the state's got funding from the federal government to put a whole bunch of these, you know, throughout the state, including one or two sites in Newport. If they select that location, that's going to change how we do some of the work, where, you know. So we'll know probably by the end of the year whether or not it gets selected. So I was thinking that would be a good project for the spring.
So yeah, you don't want to do it now, wouldn't think.
So I need to share something in that regard.
Okay.
At the last meeting of the City Center Association, not knowing what the status of the so-called pocket park was, we made a proposal, which was that we would approach whoever is responsible for making the final decision to look at that and reconceive that park as containing a monumental sculpture. Okay? And because communications have not been so regular, a lot of this is left to he said, she said kind of stuff. That's why I really want to promote something in writing so that we know what the status of all this is. Because the word on the street is that it's basically on your desk, and that it's
Which is true. And that it's
on hold. That it has gone out to bid. I mean, on these things that I'm saying ought to be in a letter, factual. It's gone out to bid several times. It's always been overbid. Therefore, it's not a high priority right now. There's now talk about a charging station. What will that do to the neighbors wanting to make recommendations? Separately, there's a group called Yukunin Bay Economic Foundation, which is kind of like the, I don't know if it's self-imposed, but it's the group that originally made the aquarium a reality. Mm-hmm. And whenever there's a big event like water treatment center, they go out and politicize and make sure that mm-hmm. the votes get out, that kind of thing. They're now wanting to make the city center a high priority. Mm-hmm. But how do they do that? How can they fund? What can they fund? What should they be thinking? And then there's a whole comprehensive plan that goes back to the 90s and design right. overlay. And it gets very complicated. And so somehow, you know, the notion that, you know, we get letters to the editor that it's an eyesore. We get people saying, well, why is it called the Art Deco District when, in fact, it's, you know, mm-hmm. great parts of it have nothing to do with that. And what are we going to do about it? So,
Can I interrupt
yeah,
for a second?
Yeah.
Can we deal with the things that we need to do with Mike and Dave here so they can get out?
Yeah,
got
absolutely.
A lot of stuff to do and,
absolutely.
And in terms of, you know, organization on the parking district, maybe that can be something
and
that we can follow up with that discussion.
Yeah.
Right. Just real briefly, though, I do want to close off on that conversation. On the economic side of things, we are putting in, we are going to be doing some an economic opportunity analysis. The city's going to be funding some of this work, and I've been in conversations with Lorna Davis. I've been in conversations with Carolyn Bowman and others, and YBEEF would be part of that conversation as well. So that may be a forum on the larger economic side of things to memorialize and capture that stuff. With respect to the park, perhaps Tim can put a little note together in terms of the status, and we can get that to the City Center Neighborhood group, mm-hmm. so you have a status of the park.
I have an email forwarded to the mayor in that effect. I can just forward it to you, and you can yeah. forward that to the people.
So okay. that covers those two items. But you know, back to the parking district things, we just talked about the parking lot, kind of where Herbert is. That's budgeted, but probably a spring project. So really, the near term project is the signage, and what I had passed along to Public Works were the changes that you would like to see made in the city center proper area, those few blocks around Herbert and 101.
I have a few comments on these, if I can go through those, if that's okay.
Sure.
There's a number of items on here that talks about marking something as 8-hour parking. I think it's not feasible to do something along those lines. Anything more than 4 hours becomes unenforceable because our parking enforcement works 8-hour shifts. And so you can market 8-hour parking, but it will never be enforced because no one will ever take a vehicle and follow up on a secondary shift. And so anything greater than 4 hours, I think, is not even worth marking at all. And it will save us a great deal of signage, and it's an unenforceable type of a sign anyway. And there's a number of them that should be marked 8 hours. At that point, it might as well not be marked as a timed signage anyway, because generally we time the parking for people at businesses. So they have people who can come and go to their businesses, but as soon as you're marking at 8 hours, it's not a business-related function anymore. And then it falls into, if somebody leaves their car there for 4 days, they're in violation of ordinance because it's an abandoned vehicle anyway.
And I think that was kind of what was aimed at, is people staying there days at a time. So, but if it's not enforceable, is there something else that can be done with that?
How would I know if somebody parking parked someplace?
Yeah, I know.
So. You know, the parking people are working 8-hour shifts like everybody else. So
right.
when parking enforcement comes along, they mark a tire.
Right.
And they come out during their shift, and they follow mm-hmm. up on the marks they'd done earlier, and based on the time,
understand.
You know, they mark them. Now, they won't do that. I don't even think they can even legally pass on when somebody parks
right.
to the next day for the next shift.
Right.
You know, if they're parked there for a number of days, that's a whole nother thing.
Well, there's a 72-hour limit in the city, and mm-hmm. parking enforcement does try to deal with that on a case by case basis. So, I mean, there are other ways to tackle it.
Yeah, the situation they run into is as soon as they move the car once,
right,
then they can come right back,
reset,
and it all starts over.
Reset,
so
right.
it's kind of a. Mm-hmm. You know, then you move out of one parking spot to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It's
when I park. In, this is what I don't understand is when I park at my house. I park at the exact same spot every single day, and if a parking enforcement person came back from one day to the next, a vehicle's in the exact same spot unless they mark the vehicle in some fashion, which I know they mark the tires.
Mm-hmm.
But an 8-hour window is an odd window. I don't think I've ever seen an 8-hour parking zone before, and I think that's the reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Is you can't do that with a single shift. which would end up impacting four or five lines in here, where you can ask for 8-hour parking.
Well, I think one of the questions, you know, some we posed in one of the meetings was, what if there was nothing at all? Is that permissible?
Nothing at all.
No signage. Just remove all the signs, period.
I don't see any reason why we couldn't.
For timing.
For time parking.
Yeah, I don't know. I would much prefer to remove the signs and add more signs.
And that way, wait a year and then see what the history is. But where you get the biggest feedback is really from those businesses that have clients that require longer periods of time. Well, you solve that by having nothing. Okay? There are some who want very short periods because, like the kite company, mm-hmm. they want to turn people as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. But if there were no limits in any other place, they would still be satisfied. So my ultimate question is, when you do these decisions about parking, what's your guiding principle? Are we?
You guys.
We are.
In terms of the time parking.
It's not like the city is saying, we want some revenue from parking tickets. That's mm-hmm. not guiding it.
No, we're trying.
Costs with those types of things.
The deal with the parking districts in particular was, this is a way for us to get, you know, you guys to have some control over what's happening in your business district. And so, you know, we're looking to you in terms of what you would like to see in terms of timed parking arrangement that works best for the businesses. It's most effective for the businesses. And I can appreciate that whatever comes out of our collective conversation still needs to be vetted with the broader group out there.
The other question was, is the cost, or rather the paying of the cost to achieve what we're going to do, I assume comes from the money collected, yes?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
So it's not extra city money that's sitting around. That's it.
So the Herbert lot is being paid for substantially out of the public parking fund, but that was the city center's contribution over the years to that fund.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So let me get this straight. You guys are thinking, take signs out, period. All the time signs out.
That was just Frank's question.
Sure.
I would think that your most constrained parking in terms of the volume of parking spaces per business is probably within one block of Highway 101.
Right.
You get a block off of Highway 101, you start bumping into the public parking lots and the street parking opens wide open.
Right.
Maybe you would only consider your signage anywhere within a block of 101. And anything on 101 itself, we have no control over. That's all Hot State Highway. You know, so can we control parking along the state highway without getting a permit from ODOT?
Yes.
We can?
So we can put like 2 hours on 101.
I didn't think we could do any kind of signage on the state highway.
It's kind of a strange benefit. We have, there are signs.
We passed the resolution or restriction by whatever our
traffic current order, whatever it is.
Yeah,
right?
Traffic orders now. Technically, the state is supposed to, then the state applies the signs. And that's why, you know, historically, as parking came off of most of 101, they came to the city and said, we want you to do this. Uptown, the city's, you know, basically said no. Mm-hmm. That's why there's parking there at all. I think that's. Mm-hmm.
But is there any more?
That's the process. Of course, in actuality, we actually do the ones.
So
all the stuff uptown, we've put them in and maintained them.
Okay.
But I suppose the state could. Well, the state probably would rather us do it in those areas than elsewhere.
One of the comments out here was directional signage for the parking lot.
Yep.
That would have to go through the state as well, would it not? Because we're doing directional signage out on the state highway.
Well, and the wayfinding committee is supposed to be doing something along that lines, too.
But not for there was nothing as part of the wayfinding plan that had directional signage to Herbert. I did check on that.
Okay. That was something that Bill wanted to bring up.
Not that it can't be done. It's just a process by which we have to go through for something like that.
So on what the parking district's looking for is two signs, you know, to catch, you know, north and southbound traffic on 101, and just say parking
here
this way
is pretty minimal.
Yeah,
and I kind of looked at sites for that. My initial thought was it's going to be, because all those major intersections are just slammed with directional signage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you get down to Abbey Street, and they have the traditional standard state highway blue signage, and I'm assuming this is what state highway is going to want us to go with, is the blue 9-inch C arrow sign, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's what they're going to want us to use.
There was some stuff in the wayfinding design that was non-standard, and that kind of all got finalized as Jim Boatberg arrived. And that was one of the things that changed right there, and we went to the standard sign. So
we would use the standard parking. Yeah. It would end up being a blue sign then with an arrow going this way or that way.
Right. So we've got one there at 101 Herbert.
That's Herbert. Okay.
Marking that little parking lot. Right. It's actually kind of non-standard dimensions, that's one spot where I think we could put a standard sign up with maybe two arrows, actually, one pointing that way, one pointing that way. It's an existing post. Coming the other way, we've got an existing post that's on the, as you're heading north, it would be on the far right side of them. It's one of those. All it has on it is the Deco District top.
Yeah. Public.
We could use that. And that'd be one that would be really easy to achieve. I'm 100% in agreement about getting those up.
And along that lines, one of the things that Bill mentioned was we had talked about loading zones and signs. One of the comments was, let's get rid of loading zones. And if that would free up a sign post.
Have you checked with the businesses who utilize those loading zones?
And again, no consensus.
Well, they're all vestigial. In other words, no one remembers the original reason. We know the community college ones, of course, they're gone, so those can go. But some of them appear to have been put there for someone's convenience and no longer bear any relationship to the business that's there.
Yeah, I think UPS and FedEx are a couple of the ones that probably use them frequently so that they have a spot to pull their trucks into. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mostly they do, mostly they make use of the no parking zones.
Right. So, I mean, they kind of take care of themselves anyways.
We have got some, especially the mid-block ones like that, but still little pockets up there. Mm-hmm. And there's one around that you actually mentioned here on Alder Street. And that's a good example of one where successive businesses that have gone in there have wanted to keep it. Right. And if the current one doesn't need it or want it, it's an opportunity to.
Yep.
And that's also why they're not all the same. They're all different.
Well, and that was
because it's tailored to the needs of that one business or perceived needs.
Mm-hmm. That was the other thing that was brought up is if we keep them, should they be standardized? Should they be all the same? But again, then you're having to.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's the difficulty with it is almost the only way to standardize them is to have them 24 hours a day. And,
right.
And, you know, that in most cases doesn't really make sense.
Exactly.
I'd love to have them all the same because it's, you know, keeping track of all of those is.
We have a constant battle.
I would imagine.
Over those.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So some of the loading zone markings are only certain times a day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we still haven't painted the curb painted green, or is it just with signage that they're controlled?
Yeah, we've always painted those green. That's
still
well.
Painted green.
Yeah. Basically to show the distance, how
I
far we're talking about.
In front of,
that's pretty much all the paint is for.
Because,
right.
Because so. I know to read the sign and see that, it's afternoon, I can park there, whatever it actually is.
Also, the one in front of the kite shop. Has hours. They've asked them. I can't see that real quickly here, but they wanted it to have different hours. I think right now it might say something that's like 11 to 1, and they would rather it was earlier in the day. So otherwise, there's no questions about the other loading zones. That was the only one, the one in front of Pet Shop. So whatever you do on that, we would consult with them. But if go back to the basic principle, though, we're talking about if we say in principle, does the block off of Highway 101 in Herbert, and that would go then to 9th to the east, 7th to the west, right? and then to Alder to the south, and Lee?
Lee.
And that's it.
And that's pretty close to what you had. You didn't have a whole lot more than that in your list. What you guys walked was pretty close to that.
The only other issue was that woman with the COPD.
The apartments. We need to do something about the apartments.
That raised the question about permits.
That's only if we have a timed parking situation up there.
True.
Oh, then how do we...
So, I mean, we do have timed parking up there right now. But that's you know, that's the block off. Is it?
Yeah, that's about
600 block.
Can you cut that block in half, put no time on half of it, and
sure,
limit on the other half of the businesses there? There are
lots of things that can be done there. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That might be a, you know, one way to deal with it was just don't do timed parking in that area where folks at that apartment complex park, and then we don't have to do a parking permit program, which I'd be real happy about.
Oh, okay.
If you took half that block that's in front of the apartment and no parking, and then maybe from there on east to the corner, put in 2 hours, is that too much of an issue? Because you got the plumbing shop, and what, you got the pub there, and then the dance place. So, I don't know, maybe they don't need time.
Okay. I think we got a comment from the plumbing shop and a business that I think is no longer there, but they were concerned about people parking longer than was necessary for their business. But under the plan we're proposing, there's plenty of parking in the area. But the other, getting back to this woman with the COPD, if we have no sign, and let's just pretend she's going to call you again.
Mm-hmm.
What's her recourse in the next call? Just that, well, it's totally open, right?
Well, you know, if the direction we're taking is instead of doing a timed parking situation, what we're going to do is we're going to try to adjust the parking signage out there such that there's ample on-street parking in close proximity to the apartment complex that's not subject to timed. That's the direction we're going. And that plan will be available and vetted with folks before it's actually implemented.
Yeah, we're talking about the apartments that are on the same site as Jernigan's and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any way, has anybody ever looked at turning 6th Street, that short piece of 6th Street, just into parking that goes nowhere? That dead-end piece?
Just into a parking?
To make that the apartment parking to get those people off of the street.
Not a bad idea if it's got the room.
I mean, right down in...
It's just... Oh, God, what is it, Mike? It's only about...
Wait, that one?
Yeah, where's the...
Is it 100 feet long? Or this? Like
yeah, that? It's only about 100 feet long in there, too.
It's a little narrow. Let's see.
Is that that one there?
I think you're right. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, it wouldn't be a little narrow, wouldn't it? That's the only thing that I can see that might be narrow.
It's always fun to sweep.
Yeah, that's... It's... funky deal in there. Is that 6th Street or is that 5th?
Yeah, I think that's 6th Street here.
Okay, because they're showing that driveway at the end of this, and that driveway, isn't it down at the end of the other one? That kind of runs
well,
on an angle?
Well, that's not really a driveway. I think there's a path to, there's some houses that access from, it can be accessed from both sides, some old houses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is there something that we, what I mean is there something that we could do in there to get those few vehicles off the street for you, is what I was looking for. Utilize that area.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
I just can't picture exactly what your idea is, but if you're talking about that space, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have any idea, but I know it's just kind of a pain in the bottom to us, too. We're coming in there in the next couple of weeks to do overlay on Herbert, and I am putting an approach on it, but...
Speaking of Herbert,
if we could maybe take a look at it and do something maybe with it.
That's when you do Herbert, you're going to repaint the stop bars and stuff on the adjacent streets, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah.
Can we paint a stop logo or put a thermoplastic stop logo at Herbert and 7th in the southwest corner? Because one of their concerns is that people are running that stop sign.
Oh, yeah, there by the plumbing shop.
Yeah.
Enhance that up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a nice way to do that. So.
Yeah, because I didn't have you do...
be like what we did down at John Moore. I mean, if you miss that stop sign, you're not paying attention. What's
going on. Yeah. Bill asked me to bring up, too, the curb and gutter at Herbert and 6th. He said it was, we thought it was in pretty bad shape.
That was the one.
So I would imagine if you're doing overlay there, you're probably looking at the curb and gutter, too. Is that correct?
Are you doing a radius approach in there as part of the overlay? No, are you doing, are you redoing the radiuses in the 6th Street if you're doing an approach into it?
You're not doing any, not planning any concrete work there. I mean, the street, the pavement there is...
Yeah, it was horrible. The pavement. All of that. I'm overlaying back.
Right, I know you're going into 6th Street.
Yeah.
I can't recall what the curbing condition is like. But
that's that messed up catch basin, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I got a couple of those that'll be raised up and all of that. That'll all be taken care of in there.
Good, okay.
I never received any complaints or anything about the curbing or sidewalk.
Yeah, I'm not really picturing. I mean, there might be some there.
I think it might be the catch basin.
Yeah, it probably is, because there is a deep. Yes. Yes, we are taking care of that.
I know we saw it, and Bill just asked me to mention that, make sure we had something going on that. So.
Tell him to go back and get on his couch again. He'll be all right. He'll be fine. I will still run by and take a look at that.
Do you have enough to go on with him?
Well, you know, I think in terms of next steps, what we need to do is just kind of map out a plan for changes to the signage. And we were working off of what you guys had provided us as a starting point. And if, you know, I don't know if, Mike, if you had a chance to sketch some thoughts out related to that, or if we need to set that up for a future meeting. Either way, we can do it.
Yeah, I got the base photographs, and I was marking existing stuff on there. That's as far as I've gotten on that.
I have a suggestion in light of what we've said today, and I don't know, to me it would be simple, if we took 101 between Lee and Alder and just made all that 2-hour. Take the existing signs, whatever they're in the parking lot by the proposed park and by the old college, we need to take that either untimed or longer for some of those. And the rest of it, leave alone unless we do one block each way, like we talked about on Herbert.
Well, the businesses on Alder there, at least on the west side of 101, would just as soon like to see the 2-hour parking go away. At least that's the greenhouse place. Yeah,
if they don't need it, I don't see it needed.
Hydroponic shop.
Yeah.
I don't know if the bank is going to care. They got their own parking lot. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Pig and Pancake, 2 hours plenty. I don't know about Fish and Wildlife. But I think most of their personnel and everything park in the old city parking lot anyways.
Right.
So what I'm hearing from this is that, Derek, you're the filter for this discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It'll come back out through that filter as an interpretation. Because the three of us really need some relief from, in other words, our responsibility was to deliver some information.
Right.
And now you've brought these people together, they've filtered it. Now, if you can spit it back out at the community and see if anyone yells or screams.
Yeah, I think we want to spit it back out at you three first.
Oh, that's fine.
And then we'll spit it out at the... Okay. Community.
That's
but
great.
I mean, that's
I'd
yeah,
happy
that's how we're going
to deliver those once you know you come up with that, just so I know they're in their hands and they will give us feedback.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that we will have to remember on the scheduling part and stuff, once we finally settle on something there, is you have to understand that the time of year that we're falling into now, a lot of the painting and stuff would not be accomplished until springtime to summertime.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think really the only people that I felt I heard from in the last City Center meeting was the lot by the old college.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were going to take the moratorium back off, parking moratorium, and with 2-hour parking in there that was, or whatever it is now, that was aimed at the students staying out of there, is not workable for the businesses that are in there because they need longer time.
Jim, I appreciate you bringing that up, because that actually is kind of our probably our biggest motivating factor is that the police department would very much like to be able to enforce again because they're in a very uncomfortable spot here. It's this moratorium situation, and they don't care what they're enforcing. They just don't like this moratorium in this one isolated area. It's not good policy, and so that's really kind of our biggest move. If we can get a new, and I've talked to the police chief and said, look, you know, the city center parking district's working on this, but this stuff doesn't happen overnight. It takes a little bit of time. And he's willing to work with us on it as long as, you know, we keep making some progress. Right.
The thing with that one parking lot there, though, where scanners and all of that is, that's going to be kind of up in the air until the work's done in there, isn't it?
What work is that?
Well, aren't they putting that statue or whatever the heck in there?
That's what we talked about earlier, and that he said he'd get back with the memo that he had prepared, right?
Well,
but that's still quite a ways. I'm guessing that's a long ways down the road.
Yeah, I think we ought to go ahead and do the sign changes there. I don't think we're adding any poles or anything. I mean, we're just talking signs.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't know. Yeah. We go in and do all this work, and then here come the contractors tearing all this stuff out. I don't know.
Right. I hear you.
1 hour.
The parking lot does, yeah.
For several years while the community college was in there.
Right.
And it was not very long ago changed to 2 hour.
And those changes, were those the
again?
They, I mean, 4 hours. Because we have a hair shop in there. And part of our customers can't handle the 2 hour. It's too short.
So we're looking to change it
to four.
Signs.
And the rest of the, as near as I can remember, the rest of the folks in there were fine with 4 hour scanners and all those guys. So, and really, I think if, from what I perceive from the city center and what the guys I've talked to, if we can do that lot, the rest of it, we'll get when we get to it. I think that was the one that most people were concerned about.
Yeah, well, on the aspect of changing the signs, we can almost jump on that pretty much immediately depending on the wayfinding signs.
Maybe get it before the wayfinding signs show up.
You know, the second batch or whatever, when they come in, is high priority.
That'll be sometime next year they come in.
Next year's not that far.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, and there's the whole, you know, how we, you know, we have to slam in there and get huge quantity, you know, mass production. Or
so if I have this, I'm just going to try to gel this kind of where we're at right now, is that...
Can I bring one more thing up before we move on to the topic? The handicap signs needed at the corner of 6th and south side of Hubert and the corner of 7th and south side of Hubert. City's not going to mark handicap signs in the middle of the road on the street parking. We can't make handicap accessible parking spots there. We don't have the physical geometry to build handicap parking spaces there, and so I won't endorse handicap parking spaces on the street. That's a bad policy to mark handicap places on the city street. Unless we have protected parking or bump outs or something that we can protect that handicap parking space and allow them easy access to the sidewalk, and 6th and 7th and Hubert is not the place. I mean, you know what the conditions of those streets
right.
and the sidewalk.
And we're kind of sorry about some of the ones that we do have.
Yeah.
I'm just not
we're good with that, but I think we do need to say that in any newsletter or just so they understand that we didn't ignore the thought.
Adding more parking spaces into the public parking lots, absolutely no problem whatsoever. Putting them on the street, I would never consider doing something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I'm in agreement with you. I believe it. Thanks. That's what we want to do anyway.
So back to your filter.
Well, it seems to me the next step then would be for us to bring back to the city center parking group a plan of sign changes or changes to the signage. We did that some similar with Nye Beach, which was here's where the sign changes are going to, where we think the sign changes should occur and what those changes would be based on the original feedback you gave us. What I got from this meeting is that you guys are open to eliminating basically the 8 hour parking, that all stuff, where those recommendations were, those would be signings going away essentially.
Right.
So there'll be a fair amount of signage that'll actually be removed, and we'll want to flag that as part of our signage plan in terms of what's being removed.
One quick point on that. If we get to that point, if we could take the reasoning that you guys have for that to put out to these people. So part of the concern we heard was, I think it was on 7th Street, cars being left there at a long time, overnights, days, that kind of thing. So
sure.
As long as you verbalize that, so again, kind of protects us from the flack.
Okay, so we'll have a plan, and we'll have a chance to talk about what the rationale is behind that plan.
Right.
And once we pin down that, then we can put something in writing in terms of the rationale.
Sounds good to me.
So what, a couple weeks?
Right.
Seem
and
reasonable?
That includes specific, I think I heard you say that in some cases we will just remove signs.
Yeah.
So we'll say which signs will go. They're just going to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in that, then I think if we reiterate that 72-hour policy, is that what you said?
We can work on that in terms of the verbiage.
So the city already has a policy or an ordinance that you can't park over 72 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that'd be good to include that in that, so we can tell people we have to talk to.
So does the 2 weeks seem reasonable in terms of a time frame to bring back to the City Center Parking District a specific kind of plan for signage changes?
Yes. Works for us. Works for you guys.
Okay.
How does that sit with you?
Okay. Does that work? That look, 2 weeks from today is just before I go on vacation.
So, yeah. So, I knew you were taking off at some time.
So is that the day we want to have a meeting that day? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Let's
and
get something
to
going.
What?
Well, let's look at calendar.
Is 2 weeks from today.
October 14th?
13th.
October.
Oh.
Thursday? Oh, wait, Friday. I'm sorry.
Friday.
14th.
Oh, that's Friday, isn't it?
It is.
Lost part of a week already.
That work?
Another thing I'd like for you guys to take a...
I can't do the 14th. I'm sorry. I got something scheduled.
How about Thursday the 13th?
I can do the morning.
I can't do 9
actually,
to 10:30.
You want to do something like 11 o'clock?
On that day would work for me.
On the 13th? Can be all right.
So far I'm open. I can put it there. 13th.
All right. 11 a.m. on the 13th. So the agenda for that meeting would be to review a signage plan for these blocks and to discuss the outreach that goes along with that in terms of, well, one.
Okay, what about the loading zones? We're going to try to take care of that during that period, too?
It seemed to make sense, wouldn't it? Just go ahead and tackle that, too, because there weren't a ton of them.
Right. Question on one of your comments about loading zones. It says loading zone striping needs to be consistent in color, which should be green, and they need to be positioned at the leading or trailing edge of the block, which we would not do. That would be a no parking zone, yellow. We would not want anybody parking within, what is it, 10 feet of the intersection, 20 feet of the intersection. So it would be an inappropriate loading zone. It essentially have to be literally where a parking spot would normally be is the only place you would actually normally put a loading zone. You know, because you're parking a vehicle there, and it has to be legal in all other regards, and the loading.
So is the one in front of the kite shop non-conforming now?
Actually, what we have there is it used to be a longer loading zone, and then when we, you know, decades ago, and when we started to become, you know, more diligent about that 20-foot state law, a big chunk of that loading zone disappeared.
Oh, I see.
Into no parking. There's a little bit left. I'm not sure if it's enough to actually park a car in.
One of those smart cars
there, for example. But
yeah, you know, also like for
of course they use them anyway. But
district to take a look and see what's best to utilize this area. This is a Chucky Bay's where it changes. Where changes.
Oh, that was Bill Bay out back.
The Merrill's sitting up here.
I think he thought that was a requirement. I think that was just his memory.
And there's a lot of parking in there.
It may be that he meant that
we do have the dentist office or whatever
because
is here.
If you look in city ordinance,
then he had, what, this
loading
is vision.
Zones are distinguished.
Or is this the guy?
No, the vision would be up here. This would be that Chucky D's.
Mongolian
Grill and then Chucky D's down
in
here.
That just indicates the extent and it still has to be indicated by signage.
You know, whether we do proper striping on it
right now,
or
I think you can actually mark in green and not mark
something.
With any kind of signage.
I always thought it would be an actual place for motorhomes.
Right. Uniform color across
the few motorhomes because they still have access to uptown and they still got a short distance.
That will probably actually be done before we get to this point.
So some sort of special or RV parking or something. I don't
think matter what your hours are.
Maybe that's something we can ask them to look at.
That's
what
the
idea of trying to get away from the mid-block loading zone.
Mm-hmm. Or we could even
go to,
you know, if they're in the same problem that we're
maybe it's
on
the
Bayfront
section next to the
Night Beach also
parking zone.
Was
I mean, there's a lot of good sense to that.
It makes a lot of sense. You got right down corners, you can get in and out for big vehicles. You know, if they end up spewing into the no parking zone, you know.
But it's just a wasted area for us. We kind of containing it. It's, I mean, Chucky D's utilizes it to park their detailed cars.
You want to test that theory? Park there for a little while.
UPS or something?
Yeah, truly. If they get out of the vehicle.
All right, here's what I have for the agenda for the 13th, then, is I have a signage and loading zone plan. So we'll do our loading zones, too, that we talked about, just in that immediate city center area. And we'll talk about a schedule for when that work should can be done. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about outreach needs. And can maybe we can throw in that apartment complex and whether or not we think we can do anything up there. Would that be reasonable?
What would we do on a stuffed street like that?
I don't know. Just take a look and see if there's anything we can do to enhance the parking, make it safer. That's all. I'm not sure.
I was looking at if we could possibly get the people that are living in those apartments, if there's any way that we can get them off of the street, would help these people out. Mm-hmm. Tremendously, because you've got the attorney and all of that stuff across the street.
The only issue is that one person has called me at least 4 or 5 times, and then I sicked her on you.
Yeah.
And I just want to be sure we speak to that somewhere in our document.
I'll convey to her what comes out of this meeting so she knows kind of where we're at.
Right.
So I'll keep her in the loop. And so that would be the agenda for the meeting. And then the way I see it working in terms of as we get closer, we'll be talking about a schedule and outreach needs, and hopefully coming out of our next meeting we'll have a general consensus as a small group as to what the signage changes should be or whatever tweaks come out of that conversation. Then the next meeting, we can pull in the police department and parking staff and go over the outreach materials and exactly what we're going to do in terms of getting them distributed. Mm-hmm. And how that's going to sync with the changes that
parking
Public Works is
going to make. Parking tickets are great outreach materials.
Hmm?
They're instantaneous, they're immediate. Parking tickets.
Are you talking about feedback?
Yeah, thanks. They all come down to my shop. That's a lot of fun.
Well,
or to ours, where the judge says, do this, period.
Just but that was kind of the sequencing piece of it. Dave did have a piece of homework, which I think would be a good one for you guys if you can help with this, which is between now and the next meeting on the 13th, there's that kind of area down by the mural?
Right, where Herbert Canyon Way turns into Canyon Way.
Mm-hmm.
That big corner in there.
Right.
I would like to see that we utilize it somehow, some kind of parking or whatever.
It's sort of dead
down
space.
It's kind of a dead, it's kind of a dead space.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
So if we could put a small lot right in front of that hill, maybe, as it comes down.
What if it would work for RV parking or something? David,
that was what I was saying. Some place
get 2 or 3 of them in there, maybe?
And actually, maybe sign RV parking.
Right here.
You know, people
good
big
idea.
Because it's kind of a halfway distance. I understand we've got the parking lot there, too. It's kind of a son of a gun.
Okay.
But it's kind of a halfway point where they could still walk uptown.
Yeah. Or go down to the bayfront.
Or they could still go down to the bayfront.
Yeah, that's because there's a lot of space there.
Two or three spots even in there would help tremendously.
I think you could, if you did head-in parking.
It has never come up in any of the discussions, and if you have an idea, I'm sure we'll support it.
I think
it's
a great idea.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Yeah.
Well, it's just one of those areas we seem to maintain all the time, and it's kind of a hodgepodge.
Right. Well, and it's great because somebody with an RV with a car behind it takes up 3 or 4 normal parking spaces. Mm-hmm. If you can get them out of the parking spaces and have them parked down the block in an area that's easier for them to get in and out of, you just save 3 spots.
And if it's easy for them getting in and out of, they use it.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What we'd probably need to do, Dave, before we meet next time, is go down and take a look at that and how the layout of that might work so people can pull in and pull out.
Right, so, being pulled.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one, that like that have, maybe has a boat behind him also.
Truck with a boat, anything. Yeah. Anything, buddy pulling the trailer.
But not a dumping station.
No, sir.
So then...
Well, if they open up, it would go somewhere, but that's probably not what
they
want.
They use our catch basins for that.
Yeah. You guys are going to bring recommendations as far as the loading zone, is that correct?
Honestly, the timing on the loading zones is nothing we can make a recommendation on.
So is that something we need to deal with, or who's dealing with that?
Yes, I think it would be that you guys would need to deal with the business owners themselves that those loading zones supposed to belong to.
I'd be happy to make any of them go
away.
Okay,
but you raise a good question there, and that is ownership. I don't think if I were an employee of the city, I would think no one can own one of those. They get put there because a significant or a critical mass of people at one time said they needed it, right?
Yes.
So we know the ones by the community college can go because they're not tenants anymore.
Right.
The hydroponic one can go. They don't want it.
Yeah, that can go. That one can go.
That's one on Alder. Yeah, they don't want it.
That's been
they just want parking
mentioned
for the employees
in the survey. And there's one over there in front of, like, about two doors from Mazatlan.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We need that one.
Can well,
that
I don't think come? That's
for Mike Parks. That one's got to stay.
I can always find a place.
Is that one on Herbert or is that on
Herbert?
Is that one on Herbert or 101?
Herbert. I've actually had a hard time sorting that one out.
Okay, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
Various resolutions we had at different times, and it's like there's a taxi zone there, and there's a loading zone, and
so we need.
It would be wonderful, just you know, paperwork wise, for me to have that. Mm-hmm. That would wipe out if they don't want it.
So if we get a recommendation on the one in front of the Kai shop. That's the only one we need to deal with.
Or correct? The ones that you want to get rid of, which Derek mentioned.
Yeah, and those I think
yeah,
could
see,
just go.
But who do we ask?
Well, I would say
we're good on
when they go, then you
yeah.
hear.
We're good on the one in front of the hydroponic. Okay. The owner of that business doesn't want it. You know, they.
Right, I understand that.
And
so what you're saying is you're not going to worry about that one.
Yeah.
The only one that if we took them all off tomorrow, mm-hmm. I think the only complaint we'd get is the kite shop.
You'd get a complaint, I'm sure.
That's the one we will talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, and who benefits from the one by Mazatlan?
That's the other one I think you might want to follow up on.
It's in front of, I think it's an open shop, empty shop now.
Right.
Unless there's somebody.
But you might talk to the owner of Mazatlan.
I talked to Mazatlan.
Just to make sure they're not
using. I'm not sure how they do their produce and stuff in that area.
Off
they're
off
not
one
for
one
their
one.
Business.
He's on 101 because it usually ties up traffic.
They park yeah. right there on the side of 101 and I load right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and you get people trying to get around him, and it's a mess.
Well, that was the flip side of that.
Yeah.
Then in part of that conversation, is there something we can do with that loading zone so that they don't do that?
We would need to get them. If we get them off 101, would be better than
okay.
if that's the case.
But their load-in door is 101.
Right.
They come in sort of off the alley next to the business there, and they're not going to walk around the corner with their stuff, but they can park right there and load
right.
it in.
And his truck's long enough, he could use a regular spot. Look at the guy I usually see there. So, I don't know.
So those are the only two. We will.
Those two, yeah.
We'll
yeah,
follow up on that.
Okay.
And the one in front of the college?
Yeah, I think that goes.
Bye.
I'd rather take it and let someone complain.
Okay. Because we have a bookshop there now.
A couple of others, though. The one on Lee Street.
That can go. That was from the college. I'll
no,
talk to
no,
Twyla.
I'm talking about
Salvation.
The other side of 101.
Salvation Army.
By the counting office?
We need to identify everyone.
By J&R.
Yes, down from, yeah, by J&R.
Oh, yeah. That's what we need to
add. Last time we asked about that because there were changes in, you know, I don't think it was, well, maybe, yeah, it might have been for J&R originally. But the last time we talked to them, they still wanted it.
Okay, so we'll try to find out.
You know, honestly,
the problem is what you got to tell us. What city ordinance we're essentially enforcing when we go to them? Because otherwise, it's a private parking spot.
They're not supposed to be private parking spots. I know that the plumbing shop likes to think that there's it, and a lot of places do. They really are only for loading and unloading. But some of those places still.
How long they can be in the loading zone too?
Yeah, it is. It's 30 minutes even. Even and actively loading and unloading.
Yeah. Right, but see, they're all wasted.
Well, I totally agree with you.
That's kind of where I come from. In other words, you should almost have to remove them all, and then they would have to petition to have one.
Okay, put it back again.
You know, yeah, because right now, what they want more than anything is as much parking as possible. So a loading zone is essentially not available most of the time. Mm-hmm. So I would almost rather say that we're going to go forward with the concept that they all go unless they get petitioned for. Okay, I'm just playing the devil's advocate. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the ones that are actually
town.
You know the ones that are actually like being used, I think it might be good to just touch base with the kite shop, with the Mazatlan, just to make sure that those aren't actively being used. With the kite shop, and if the kite shop's actively using it as a loading zone, then
once that's put out though.
Yeah, but let me just say this.
See what you're saying. Who's going to come in to defend her?
All of their inventory is downstairs on the Herbert Street side. They have a garage door Mm-hmm. So it would be hard-pressed for them to convince me that they need a loading zone. Because I know where all their inventory is stored. And they have their own place, totally to themselves on Herbert Street, where it doesn't block the traffic. Okay.
But see, this is the thing, though, they at one point had already petitioned for that loading zone. And there was a traffic order somewhere along the line that designated that zone. And so we would essentially issue another traffic order removing the zone in opposition to what the adjacent business owner really wants. Unless they agree to that. I mean, that's essentially what we're doing.
But we're going to go talk to them. Because we're having another meeting in 2 weeks, and we'll tell you what we learned.
But if they agree to it, is one thing. If they're opposed to it, I would not endorse that in any way, shape, or form, and make them petition to get it back again. Because let me tell you, they will go to council, and council will not be pleased.
So you would rather we let a sleeping dog lie?
If they're fine getting rid of it, great. If they don't want to get rid of it, let it be.
Okay. So if we check with these two, Mazatlan and Kite Shop, and we'll bring their recommendations to you.
Yeah. And we'll list all of the zones we're going to get rid of and try and advertise that appropriately so that we have justification that we advertise it appropriately. We took out the zones, and if somebody comes and complains, we can deal with that at that point.
Right.
Right.
But the ones that we know that may have opposition to, we simply seek out right now.
Yeah, let's go talk to them. And I agree with you.
And this is, I mean, again, on the overall, this is a comprehensive cleanup of the signage and loading zones per the City Center Parking District, trying to achieve the parking district's objectives of making the parking system as efficient and usable for everybody as possible. I mean, that's really
clear.
And clear. I mean, that's what this is all about. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah. And then the one like a Jernigan's there, which I agree with you. I know how he deals with things, but we could deal with that. I mean, I know he's going to petition to keep it,
so
we can deal with that with the time. You know, if nothing else, maybe he would be satisfied with the time limit because then it can be enforced.
Yeah, I mean, I can
talk to him too. He's a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
See, they're another one just like the Kite Shop. They have a loading dock on 7th. Mm-hmm. They have their own private parking.
Yeah.
So the only thing that's for really is for customers coming to pay bills or having appointments. That's a private spot. I don't know where that fits.
Correct.
So I'll talk to him and I'll tell you what I learned.
Sometimes it changes the complexion of those things if they really understand that it's really only going to be available to them for loading and unloading.
Yeah.
And you made a good point. You just simply make time parking better for a very short duration.
Yeah,
15-minute parking only, half-hour parking only, for where the loading zone used to be. People can park in there, run in, do their thing, but it's going to be regularly available because people aren't parking there for long periods of time.
That's a good idea.
And they can load and unload there.
Might be even better than the loading.
Exactly.
I mean, that's an alternative to that, and it's much more usable for the short-time customer, and still it's the same period of time available for loading and unloading.
Is that an enforcement issue? Having a 15-minute and some others?
As long as it's clear to the park enforcement folks, they're good.
Yeah. I think it's probably a good idea, then, maybe.
Is there such a sign as 15-minute parking and loading, unloading only, or something like that?
Excuse me.
I've never done one like that. I've done a few 10s at Montessori School.
Yeah. Where kids are dropping kids off.
Yeah, because it was, you know, passenger loading isn't going to work correctly because in that case, the parent is going to get out and take the kid in, but it should all happen within 10 minutes. A lot of 20 minutes, a few 30 minutes. I mean, I tend to say that, a 20 or 30 minute, simply by itself, is what other purpose are you going to do?
Yeah.
The fact that you're keeping it, clear and open.
It's short enough where you can't do a lot, but quick enough where you can load them
out. Yeah, I mean, it makes a good sense to me that for the plumbing shop in particular, somebody, wants to stop in and pay their bill or stop in and say, need you to come out
especially
or whatever.
Especially those zones are at the end of the block adjacent to the no parking. Like you had mentioned, which is, I thought, a really good thought, it opens up that corner for visibility, for starters, for right turn movements, all kinds of things.
And one loading zone there serves that whole block.
That whole block.
Well, and then, too, on that, if you're going to do 10 or 15 or 20, my inclination is, we're getting stuck. What don't you have to make? Stick it out there,
Yeah.
Because I think if we can, I have no idea how you guys do your signs, but if we can use what you have, and make everything work, Save some budget. I'm all for it.
We got lots of different signs to say lots of
different. Yeah. See, that's what the way I'm setting now, I can
one of these.
You know, I can make 17-minute parking if you want. I'd rather keep it a little more standard than
right.
that.
Yeah,
you can make the sign.
That's our biggest deal. If you have them, you don't have to make standardized as we possibly can.
Right. Well, I actually keep blanks, and then I make if I need a red no parking sign or a green 2-hour parking sign or whatever. I don't have to keep stocks of all of those. Mm-hmm. Now,
I wouldn't share our work. I'm just not what we're headed
to. So we'll be looking at one of them. That's one of my pet peeves within that on 7th around next to Truman Center. It's a loading zone. They had to have it. They had to have it in the morning, but they actually get their deliveries in the afternoon. And it seems to be a private parking space. I've almost never seen it empty, and I've never seen a ticket there.
Yeah. At one time, I think they were using it for.
We ought to look at that.
Well, maybe that was on the list of go-aways.
Patients or whatever.
I'm not sure there's a huge opposition to it.
Yeah. By now, they may have forgotten that they asked for it.
Okay. Works for me.
Might be a whole different personnel there.
You know, I've had a lot of discussions with different people about why and how the city does parking or no parking or signage or other things and what the philosophy is on that. And we try and follow the METCD as much as possible and our city ordinances, which designate fire zones, loading zones, you know. And loading zones doesn't seem to have really a hardcore policy behind it other than the adjacent property owner would like to see a loading zone, and nobody has a great deal of opposition to it until it went in. No parking is something else, but loading zones are pretty free and wild.
Yeah, a lot of it. You know, years back, it was a handshake. You met somebody and said, hey, can I put this in? And a handshake, and wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to be a little bit more formalized in that. We do traffic orders. Mm-hmm. The city manager looks at it. He almost always questions them. And we have reasoning and philosophy behind why we do what we do, and the city manager has assigning authority to do a traffic order.
Well, I'll tell you what I would recommend if it were meant to. It's like when you want to put an A-frame and you go to Victor. Mm-hmm. Fine, you can pay to have an A-frame. It'll cost you $100 a year, and you pay it in $25 increments. And I would rather the city got some income on any of signs that you just described, where loading zone directly benefits a business. Then you've covered it. It's not like there was a handshake. It's part of how the city does it. But then, of course, in some areas, you'd have all these zones if it became something you could just order. So I realize it's kind of a catch-22.
And I don't know if somebody came in and requested a loading zone, if they get out and I'll just say no. You know, I don't know how that would fly. But, I mean, that's going to happen someday. We'll see what happens.
But I would say if a loading zone is specifically to benefit a business.
They all are. Every single loading zone
out
there is.
I think there ought to be some kind of a remuneration, a fee, because I don't see where the city is required. I mean, at a minimum, pay for the time it costs mm-hmm. to produce the sign.
Time material.
I like that idea. Go ahead and charge all you want, just make sure it goes to the street fund.
Yeah, there you go.
I like that.
Public Works Administration.
So we have loading. No. I think we've got it pretty well mapped out then for the next meeting. Yeah, and it looks like most of the loading zones are going to be tagged as zones to go away, except for the ones that the two of you are going to follow up with property owners on. So outside of the loading zone and signage plan, we have a schedule to talk about, outreach needs, and then we'll talk about parking for that Crestview Apartments at 6th Street.
Okay, one trivial piece.
Okay.
Historically, the street spelled H-U-R-B-E-R-T has been rendered as H-U-B-E-R-T and H-U-R-L-B-E-R-T.
But Herbert?
We know it is Herbert.
Cool.
But, there is on a curb in the city of Newport the spelling, H-U-R-L-B-E-R-T.
Well, you know, concrete workers are the greatest spellers in the world.
Honestly, the reason for that is it was originally Hurlburt Street.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, yeah. So what I'm really getting at mm-hmm. is when I hit the button to get the signal to walk across the highway, mm-hmm. the voice greeted me, a new voice, that said, wait, you are about to cross Hubert Street. And I said,
the state? Interesting, that's the state.
So who dictated that? I said, it's not Hubert Street, it's Herbert Street.
That's
so
the state.
Anyway, for whoever wants that feedback.
Okay.
That'd be fine. I'm going to have to call the state up and say, hey guys.
You guys messed it up.
It must be Herbert.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, everybody.